You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's just one of those days.
Hello, good evening, and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. And apologies for anyone who does not like swear words, but that was by the request of a few of the lads and a few people on Twitter as well, as far as intro music goes for today's episode. And probably a bit of a heads up as well, if you do a Big Strong Leicester Boys swear jar or swear count, I'd imagine there may well be a few. over the course of today's episode, but I'm sure you can forgive us. So yeah, it was a 5-3 defeat to Fulham on your bank holiday Monday. Personal opinion, and I think that the general consensus with that flatters us somewhat. I thought we were absolutely woeful, and for the very first time for me personally, I am now truly considering and getting my head around relegation and championship football next season. Up until this point, I had genuinely believed we would find a way of getting out of it. I thought it would be close, but I thought we would ultimately be safe. But I thought all the signs on Monday against Fulham was everything of a side that's going down. It really was not a fun experience or a fun game to be at whatsoever. But I know that so many people enjoy listening to these podcasts as a way of kind of, you know, cathartic, don't they? They like to listen to these kind of things and, you know, get things off their chest. And I'm sure that's exactly what the lads are going to be doing today. We've got Jordan and Rick. Jack's going to join us very, very shortly. We've also got Jordan Blackwell as well from the Leicester Mercury. So it should be a really good episode for you today to listen to. And Rick, quickly, we will come to you because you've made a specific request today. That you do not want to be edited, or what else should we say? You don't want any of these situations where any of your opinions have been taken out of this episode, right? Which is a little bit scary.
Well, yeah, no, I just think that there's no point editing what is going on now, is there? It's just bullshit. And I mean, what I just. There's so much going on in my mind that I can't articulate what I'm feeling, really. I said last week, didn't I, that I felt energised again because I was actually feeling something. That Everton game was chaos and I felt like I'd aged about 20 years during that game. Well, bring me apathy and numbness again because this is just obscene. You know, yesterday was probably the angriest I've been in years. I mean, what's the angriest animal creature in the world? A pup adder. I'm worse than that, mate. Honestly, I'm just fuming. I've woke up today and I'm equally as bad. You know, we joke and have a laugh about stuff, but this means a hell of a lot to people, Leicester City do. You know, we can joke about it and people say there's more to life than football. For some, there isn't, or there are, but when things go wrong, you realise how much it does affect you. And right now, I'm fuming. And, you know, if anything, our success, we've got no God-given right to have done what we've done, and we've got no God-given right to be a Premier League team. But we have worked so hard to get to where we are, and that's not a fan base necessarily. That's a club as a whole, and we've all bought into that, and we've supported them, and we acknowledge what we've done, and there's been so many people behind the scenes do it, that to get to where we've got to, and then to have fallen as hard and fast as this, you know, it's not just this season. Last season, we could see the danger signs. You know, I feel like we're them four violinists on the Titanic, you know, that just carry on playing, even though they know they're about to snuff it. You know, the iceberg's been coming, and we could have avoided it, but yet now we're blasting straight into it, and we're done. And I'm just so angry because, you know, if we'd never achieved anything and we were just a middling Premier League team for the last 9 years, you could almost accept that we, you know, we're going back to natural order. No, to have failed, to drop from where we're dropping, it is gross negligence, and it is hideous. And, you know, I'll come on tomorrow. I'll let Jordan and George talk now. But
yeah,
it's sickening. And the fact that there's going to be people in the board level that won't lose their jobs over this, aren't measured on performance, honestly. Yeah, this is why I don't want to be edited, because it's our souls like that need to hear what is going on.
Right, okay. So there we are. There's a quick taste of Rick's mood as he takes another swig from his can of Stella. Jordan Holford, big, strong Leicester boy, we'll come to you first before we intro Jordan Blackwell. Are you feeling similar to Rick? I suspect we all are. And we're struggling to articulate it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst thing for me is I do just feel apathetic towards it. The more I think about it, the angrier I get, which is why I'm not trying to think about it. And just, you know, I've accepted that we're going down. Yesterday was an absolute white flag. You compare the performance. I mean, it's easy to say it was the worst performance of the season, but we've had so many bad ones. And we scored three and still somehow lost the game. And then you compare that with Everton's display and Forest's display, two sides that are nowhere near as good as in, you know, on paper or technically. And the one thing that they have got, which we seemingly haven't, is a pair of bollocks. And, you know, Matt, we'll come on to Maddison and his comments. But for him to come out after the game, and whether it was a slip of the tongue and it was mentioned in the dressing room, well, I don't know. But to say we haven't got the fight is just absolutely unforgivable. I mean, I've seen today that Dean Smith has had them in and they're not on a day off. I mean, why on earth would they have a day off anyway? Mm. And like Rick says, this iceberg has been coming for months, and I've been positive all season. But even with 10 games to go, even I was thinking, fucking hell, we're still in this. We shouldn't be in this mess, and we still are. And there is a danger. And it seems now with 2 points from safety, everyone at the club has actually finally woke up and thought, oh, shit, we're going down. The players don't care, because the ones that are out of contract are going to go. The ones that are worth anything, we've got to sell. We can't afford anyone. I mean, we'll come on to the wages, I imagine. We can't afford anyone that we'd like to keep. And Rick took the words out of my mouth. It's complete gross negligence from the top. And we'll come on to the manager, but everyone was blaming Brendan Rodgers. Now people are criticising Dean Smith. The buck stops with the board and the owner. And I'm sick of the sight of the players. And in between, you've got a manager who said against Forest last year what he said, and he was right. A manager who said in the summer that we needed investment, and he was right. And now Dean Smith's coming in and he's getting stick because he can't change it either. And it is just, I don't know where to start or what to say. It's an absolute mess. And if we go down, well, we will go down. I don't think we'll get another point. And I don't think Leeds will get another point. So I think that's the table now. I don't think Everton or Forest need to win another game, personally. If we don't come straight back up, this club could be in the abyss for another 10 years. And And the real thing, again, we'll probably come on to it, the real thing that has rattled me the most is this. We've taken out this loan for 3 years with, is it Macquarie? Is that how you say it? The Australian bank, against the Premier League TV rights until 2025 or 26. That should be the signal of the malaise that has set in at the highest level of the club, that they think we've got this God-given right to be in the Premier League. And as soon as they've taken our eye off the ball, you know, yes, we, King Power might not have the investment that they had before COVID. Yes, we've got a bought a new training ground. Yes, we've got a stadium expansion, and we might not have been able to invest in the team. But you take your eye off the ball at this level of football, and everyone's caught us up in one summer. And that negligence at the top is what's really cost us. And I mean, not just because it's Leicester City, but I think it's really sad for the state of football that you've got a team that has won the Premier League, won the FA Cup, played in the quarterfinal of the Champions League. And with the resources we've got, we've won those trophies more recently than Manchester United. And we've won more than Tottenham Hotspur. And they've got a bottomless pit of money, effectively. We've won more than Newcastle United. And if we can't sustain Premier League football for 10 years now, when can we do it? We're never going to do it. And I think that's not just alarming as a Leicester fan, but for every other club should actually look at us and think, fucking hell, what is the point? Because it seems pointless. It seems pointless. And that's what rattles me about, you know, what we've achieved, and people don't realise, because the resources we've got to achieve what we did is incredible. But for it to go so spectacularly wrong in such a short space of time is even more unbelievable. And like I say, I do feel kind of apathetic towards it. But when I start talking about it and thinking about it, it winds me up. But what can you say? We're fucked. We're absolutely fucked. We're down.
in a footballing sense, it is really quite depressing. It generally is. And so much of, well, pretty much everything that the both of you have said, I do completely agree with. I think the negligence and the lack of action from people at the top of the football club is quite incredible. And we've spoken before, haven't we, that maybe there needs to be a purge and a complete change of everything at the football club, you know, and maybe in that sense, relegation isn't the worst thing. But as I was saying to Jack at the weekend, the problem is that even if you go down to the Championship, that the people who we're criticising right now, and look, ultimately we're not, and we can't be 100% sure who to blame is, but, you know, those names like your Susan Whelans, your John Rudkins, whether it's Top, you know, and it is impossible for me to pick out people and say that it's your fault. Same with Brendan Rodgers. But the reality is that those people are still going to be at the football club next season. So ultimately, in my opinion, I can't see it change, which is why you speak about the icebergs and, you know, how it's going to come crashing. We're going to end up in the Championship. I don't think we bounce straight back unless there is a huge change at the top end of the football club, which I can't really see happening, because I don't think the owner in Top is ruthless enough and is wise enough and can witness and notice all of these things. Because if he did, he would have made these changes already, but he hasn't. So, look, it's one of them things where I kind of feel like I don't want to talk about it, but equally, as soon as I start talking about it, then can't shut up talking about it, because it's something that deeply affects you and you care about so, so much. Jordan Blackwell from the Leicester Mercury, we need to talk about Fulham and the game itself, because I know that so far it's just a general feeling and mood around the football club and this horrible trajectory which we're on. But what on earth did you make of that performance against Fulham? Because I think all of us were looking at this fixture as one we not only should be targeting to win, but I think we're relatively comfortable of getting a result from. But it was absolutely woeful. And for me, 5-3 flatters us immensely from literally the word go. I could see we weren't at the races, and it was a painful, painful watch for me and everyone else sat in that or stood in that away end yesterday.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I would argue it's probably not the worst performance of the season. I do think Brighton away takes some beating, but maybe given the stakes, maybe it will go down as the worst performance of the season. I certainly think it will be you know, if Leicester do get relegated, I think it will be the game that people point to, or the day that people point to, given the sort of the Everton and Forest results that that followed. You know, what's been said is right, certainly about the sort of maybe the lack of desire on show. I think the players would dispute that, but there's clearly something missing that a team in Fulham who don't have Europe to play for, they're not in a relegation battle. I think Marco Silva's set this sort of target of trying to surpass the points total that Roy Hodgson's Fulham got sort of in 2009 or something. You know, that's not high stakes stuff. Leicester are playing for their Premier League future, and yet Fulham wanted it more. I do think inevitably, because of that, there are going to be questions around the motivations of the players, and obviously with many of them won't suffer the sort of the repercussions of a relegation because they won't be at the club like the fans will, and that's there will always be a difference between the fans and the players in that regard. Dean Smith has said that's not the case. He's always insisted that the players do care, and I think you do see in some of the performances that some of them do. I mean, you know, Charles Soyuncu has probably been the best player over the past few weeks, and he's not going to be here come next season. So it's a bit of a, you know, it's an argument that that does have some holes in it. But I think you're still looking at why, you know, why they can't show the same commitment as other teams. I thought Smith said something very interesting yesterday in that he's told the team to ignore the sort of the pundits that say they're good players and they're a good team because there's too much evidence to the contrary. There's, you know, they've lost too many games. And maybe that's a part of it. Maybe the, you know, that would certainly sort of explain why they concede first so often. I mean, you know, 17 of the last 18 games they've conceded first, and the only one they didn't at Palace, where they were absolutely battered. So it's, I think that probably may be a part of it, whether they thought, you know, whether they think they're better than they are, and then they're having to go one behind before realizing that they're in trouble and actually starting to get into games, whether they become complacent every time they're outside of the relegation zone and assume that others sort of below them in the table are going to be worse, which there have been occasions. There have been games where Leicester have not done very well, but they've not moved anywhere in the table because the teams behind them have then sort of messed up their games as well. Then all of a sudden, Leicester lose one, the teams behind them win theirs, and all of a sudden it looks very, very bleak.
Yeah, I mean, on the desire thing, I do think there's a real lack of desire, Jordan, within that side. And it is hard to work out why. I know we obviously point to the fact that lots of them aren't going to be there, but it was so noticeably poor on Monday. You are left scratching your head in terms of if you're not got kind of more, you know, personal pride in your own performance, because if you carry on playing like this, you know, no Premier League club's going to touch you. And, you know, it was literally from the kickoff. A ball went over the top between Pheasant and Castagna. And, you know, I want my centre-half coming to attack that, but he didn't come and attack it. Castagna kind of let it bounce over his head, and they either got a corner or a throw-in. And from that moment, the kind of felt like the tone was set. And it looks to me like 11 strangers. There's no structure. There's no pattern of play. There's no style in terms of the way that Leicester play at all. And you see the way that Fulham were knocking the ball around. And you're left scratching your head thinking, well, what are they doing on the training pitch? You know, because these are players have proven, you know, whether at Leicester or previous clubs, that they're top-level footballers. You know, we'll probably talk about the wages, but, you know, they didn't give themselves those wages. Somebody thought they were worth it, and enough people thought they were to get those contracts in the first place. These aren't 11 useless footballers. These are top professionals, but for some reason, they just simply are not doing it for Leicester. And, you know, the lack of desire, there was no press whatsoever. And you look at where all the goals come from, it's either from nobody taking charge of the situation or just, you know, a lack of press and just not putting enough pressure on the ball and allowing Fulham to basically do what on earth they wanted. And I thought the only two players, and again, talk about holes in arguments, but I thought the only two players who can walk away with any kind of credit in terms of I thought they at least tried were Vardy and Soyuncu. But you know, you've got Vardy, who's missed a penalty, and then Soyuncu, who you can potentially say was at fault for one of the goals. I mean, I do disagree in terms of if you're going to point fingers, I wouldn't directly go for Soyuncu, although, of course, he could have done better in that situation. And then I think with Maddison, Jordan. I actually think that he's trying too hard. You know, I don't think that James Maddison is lacking desire. And of course, he is the guy who's fronted up in terms of the media, and he's the guy with the captain's armband. And he's the guy who's obviously come on social media, so he's taking all the heat because also he's our best player. So he's the one that we're looking towards to try and make things happen. But Jordan, and this is to Jordan Blackwell, sorry. What did you think of Maddison? Do you agree that he's maybe just trying too hard at the moment? Because I don't think there's a lack of desire from him, and I don't think there's a lack of fight from him. I genuinely don't, irrespective of whether he's going to be at the club here next season or not.
No, I think he does care. I think the comments were interesting in the sense that he was clearly keen not to be taken out of context. I felt personally the sort of the context that he was looking to provide didn't really help, in the sense that the context was already there in the performance. You know, he said there was, you know, when he said about the lack of hunger, or, you know, they weren't hungry enough, he wasn't saying that they didn't want to win or didn't understand the importance of the fixture. He was saying that they weren't aggressive enough in the 50-50s or, you know, in their pressing. But if you do really want to win the game and you do understand the importance of the fixture, then those aspects of a performance are there. You are committed in the 50-50s. You do press really well. But yes, I do think he's one that, you know, I can't criticise him too much, because I would always prefer a player to come out and speak to the media and, you know, much prefer that to sort of silence or, you know, not addressing a situation. And Maddison is very, very good at that. I think when he receives the ball, he does care. I mean, we're probably going into, you know, sort of formation and tactics now. I think when he plays as a number 10, I do think he tends to sort of amble around the pitch a little bit more, not necessarily pressing as hard as he does when he's played on the right. I think he knows he can't get away with it on the right, so he has to work hard off the ball. I think when he's in the number 10 position, he tends to stay a little bit more stationary. But then that's part of the problem you've got, because you don't want Vardy having to come deep to get the ball, because you want him on the last man, and that's what you miss when Iheanacho's not playing. And, you know, there's so much that can be said about that. But yeah, for Maddison, yes, he's not going to be here next season. Well, it's very, very unlikely that he will be, even if they do stay up. But I think I do think he cares, and I think you are seeing it on the ball. I think you're probably right, Jake, that it does feel a little bit like he's trying too hard. I think he clearly feels some level of responsibility. I think he probably is sort of holding onto the ball a little bit too much at times. But there has been so many occasions in the past where it's, you know, the team have basically just given him the ball and expected him to work some magic. So it's not a surprise maybe that he feels the pressure to do that on the pitch. You know, and he still did pretty well on the ball, in the second half anyway, yesterday.
Yeah. Right. Jack's joined us now. Hello, mate. We had a great day yesterday, didn't we, in Fulham?
We had a lovely day, Jake. A lovely day, spoiled by 90 minutes. The story of the season.
But we did stay for 90 minutes.
We did, despite my best efforts to leave about three times. but it was, in a weird way, it was just too enjoyable to watch us be so terrible. It felt rather like quite historic in a way. You know, there are games where you know, I don't know, it's not quite our lowest ebb, but I mean, that's the lowest ebb of the season, wasn't it? And
yeah,
in a weird kind of way, I felt some pride being there, even if some of the players didn't.
Rick, I saw you tweeted James Maddison yesterday.
Yeah. Your little Herbert. Yeah.
So obviously you've just had me and Jordan discuss our thoughts on it. I do think Maddison cares. I just think he's trying too hard. And yeah, you know, he needs to stay off social media, because it doesn't help. And I don't think him trying to clarify whatever he thought he said yesterday helped whatsoever. But I'm probably not as angry with Maddison as perhaps other people are. I do think that it's all his energy's coming from the right place. Where are you at with it? Probably different if you're calling him a Herbert on Twitter.
No. That, like, I love James Maddison. I've certainly not turned on him over the years like many have been quick to do. usually when he, you know, a run of poor form, that the abuse will come. No, I mean, there's no denying he's our best player. And last season, he stepped up in class, didn't he? And his whole attitude, the way he sort of dealt with not getting called up for England and the criticism about some of the things that had gone on off the pitch, he matured and he was brilliant. And likewise, up to the World Cup, we were dog shit before Christmas until we went on that run of form. But whilst we were losing seven games on the spin or whatever it was and breaking records, not in a good way, he was still conducting himself very well. He didn't let his standards drop. He wasn't moping about. He wasn't arguing with people on Twitter. He was just getting his head down and doing what he needed to do. Since he's come back from the World Cup and in 2023, it's not gone well for him. He obviously has made his, you know, he's been reborn again with England and he had a good game for them. But for Leicester, he hadn't done a lot and it's starting to tell. You know, he gobbed off at Rob Tanner back in March. And this is where, this is what it all comes down to. So many of them have been oblivious and honestly astonished that we dare question that we're in the shit. Because the arrogance that we dared question them and boo them and call them out as late as March was all played out there by James Maddison, where he went to town on Rob Tanner for writing a very good article that wasn't personal, that wasn't particularly unfair. It was just calling it as it is, you know, reading out worrying stats and trends and all the, you know, facts and proof that you could tell that we were bollocks. And he's gone out of his way to say that. Now, okay, I don't mind him fronting up because that is Maddison. He's emotional. And I do agree he cares because he will. Now, he'll be one of the first ones to leave in the summer, and rightly so, because he's got a year to go. We need to sell him and he deserves to play, you know, at the highest level. But, you know, read the room, know when you do need to wind it in, because all he's now going on about, now he's arguing again by saying they're not hungry enough. Now, Jordan Blackwell's right. It's not so much he's saying that they don't care, but being hungry and being like going behind every game and being passive and stuff, it's the same thing. It's, as Simon Jordan said earlier, it's dressed up in a different, you've rebadged some dog shit in a different bag. It, you know, he just needs to hold his hands up and say, we haven't been good enough. It's now suddenly dawned on us and we will move heaven and earth in these next three games to try our hardest to stay up. But we're sorry. It isn't for a want of trying. But yes, maybe we've been a little bit complacent. Maybe we've genuinely assumed that we'll be okay. But we ain't going to be okay. And hold your hands up, son, because we're the ones that are still going to have to go and watch that dog mess next season. He won't. And I tell you what, he's going to be the most honest. This is where my head will fall off. Coventry City are going to get promoted, right? They're going to win the playoffs. And there's going to be a tweet that comes out from James Maddison congratulating Coventry City for getting promoted, right? And he'll be well within his rights for doing that. But again, read the room.
He'll probably congratulate Forrest on staying up because he lives in Nottingham. So
I knew you'd say that.
That took literally five minutes for Jack to mention.
I was waiting for that.
our players should not live in Nottingham. They should not.
Like they should. I know players should all have LE. And they're still shit.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't prevent them being shit. But like, some context is required. They should all have LE postcodes, unless there is extreme extenuating circumstances. I don't care if they live on the other side of the county. Like, you've got to have some pride in the city. Like, we built Seagrave, and all the players have pissed off to Nottinghamshire. I'm not having.
No. Jack, you'd be a fan of Irish sport because they all have to come from the same county they play for. You should follow the hurling.
Why do you think I want a purge, George? We can build it from the ground up.
Right, let's go back to Jordan Blackwell quickly before we let him go off to the pub and then before it, maybe Rick's head well and true does fall off and then Jordan doesn't have to be associated with that. but mate, we do massively appreciate you coming on. You do a great job. I want to now kind of get your thoughts on Dean Smith and where he goes from here for these final three games. Because look, I think I can say as a collective of the podcast, we've enjoyed Dean. We think he's done a decent job. But you know, after the performance against Fulham, you then kind of take a step back and say, oh, really, has he done that good a job? I'm now not really too sure. And I'm not sure where my head is at whatsoever. And I don't know how or where he goes from here in terms of picking this team up for Liverpool and Newcastle. Because, you know, these are games that ordinarily we view as free hits. But, of course, we're in a situation where we're absolutely, there aren't any free hits anymore. And, you know, losing these games could effectively damage what little confidence that there already is in the side. And if there is any hope whatsoever that you go into the final day with a chance of staying up with a win over West Ham, I'm just not really sure how he goes about tackling these games, Jordan, because Liverpool and Newcastle right now, I mean, Newcastle less so because I know they lost to Arsenal at the weekend, but they look like we just look like cannon fodder basically to them right now, if I'm being brutally honest.
Yeah. The only sort of small drop of hope I've got about the Liverpool game is that their away record isn't great this season. But as you say, they are in a very good run of form. I think that the difficulty for me based on the sort of the team selection is that when we've been speaking to Dean Smith is that he's very much focused on the lack of clean sheets and the number of goals that the club have conceded. He set out addressing that. That's what he's wanted to change because he's very much of the opinion, well, we've got the attacking quality in the team. I can back this team to score goals comfortably. It's the defensively where we need to improve. And the setup didn't solve anything. I think last season, the kind of how terrible the team were at defending corners probably overshadowed that they also weren't very good at defending on the transition. There were so many times in games where Leicester dominated possession where they would concede a goal on the counter-attack because one player makes a mistake high up the pitch and they don't have the organisation to cut to stop the attacks. I think that's sort of carried on, and we saw particularly with the Fulham second goal, that was the major problem there. Playing a midfield two of Tielemans and Samore doesn't strike me as the best way forward in that regard. I don't think Tielemans is agile enough to get back and defend a counter. I think Samore has a tendency to switch off. I know lots of people have said it. I would be tempted to play Papi Mendy. I think you're not going to get a lot of, you're not going to get a great deal out of him in terms of, you know, intricate passes or anything like that. And you would be, sacrificing an attacker to play him. But his positioning is quite good. He is a steady Eddie. And so I'd be tempted. That's the only real solution I can see. Maybe playing Dewsbury Hall. I know he feels like he's lacked a little bit of quality this season. But you do get energy from him. And he does stay switched on for the full 90 minutes. And he does have the stamina to run for 90 minutes. Yeah, I think it's tough. You know, you look at these games and you can't, with the way Leicester played against Fulham, you can't really see a way out of it for them, a way to get results. But that would be the way I would go to put Mendy at the base of the midfield.
Rick, have you got a quick question for Jordan before he goes, or is it for us?
No, it's for Jordan. So, yeah, just on Dean Smith, are you a little bit concerned that, you know, we brought three players in January and he's quite quickly... looks like he's not having Harry Soutar. He's had Christiansen in and out, and Tete's obviously been very poor, which, you know, obviously I'm partly to blame on as well, giving him the kiss of death. But, I'm just a bit, you know, I thought Dean Smith was a shrewd appointment and could long-term get the job, but I'm a little bit concerned that he's come in and he's not having those new players. Now, he's got to see how he calls it, and there's no time for bedding players in right now, but I do feel he's getting a few things way off, and he's not even like bringing these players on. Like Dewsbury Hall's come on once. He's not come on again since. I don't think Soutar played against Man City, not come on. I just, you know, there seems to be a real disconnect there already, which bothers me.
I think he's clearly just approaching it in the sense that, you know, they're in a desperate situation and you can't really think long term. I do think it is a little bit of a concern, as you say, that none of the new signings have really featured. I think Christensen, from looking very good in those first couple of games, has seemed to struggle. I mean, I remember speaking to Danish journalists at the time, and they were kind of the opinion, oh, yeah, he'll be Premier League quality eventually, but I'm not sure about right now. And then all of a sudden he's being thrust in, he's being asked to play every game, and I think he's not really shown up all too well over the past couple of games. I think Suter works well if you want a more settled back line. I was surprised that the Soyuncu and Fast partnership seemed to work. I thought that was two sort of players who were very too similar to each other. And I think you've seen a couple of, I think the second goal Fulham scored, there was an instance of that. They were both a bit sort of too, weren't quite in the right positions. But I think the thing that now is that the way, since Martin Glover came in as head of recruitment, that the managers don't really get a say in the transfer market. So, you know, it's going to be a case of the club signing players and the managers having to work with whoever they get. I think they probably changed that after the window, the dreadful window of 2021. So Rodgers didn't really have any say in those three signings in January. They were all sourced by Glover and the recruitment team. I think probably the club realised that the Rodgers influence signings, Vestergaard and Bertrand, hadn't come off too well. Rodgers was behind Luckman as well, which was probably the most successful one. But I think there has been a change of attack there. So, it's a concern, but it's I think Smith just feels like he's got to do whatever he can to get them out of it. He's only considering how the players have performed in training. That's all he's based his selection on, which is why Soyuncu's come back in.
Mm. All right, top stuff. Jordan, mate, we'll let you get down the boozer.
Thank you very much.
Massively appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks very much, gents. Catch you in a bit.
Top, man. Thanks, mate.
Bye.
Yeah.
There we are. That's Jordan Blackwell there from the Leicester Mercury. Right, I'm going to hand the floor over to you boys, really. I've done a lot of talking. And of course, obviously, wanted to get the views of Jordan there. I'm all Leicestered out. Jack, we need to hear from you some more, please, mate. What would you, the floor is yours. What would you like to talk about? Apart from postcodes.
Can we talk about postcodes?
No, we've done that one now.
I've got a quiz, but I think we should save the quiz for the end. On Maddison, just to go back to the point, I'm not going to mention his postcode again. I think he cares, but I think he cares about himself. I don't think he really cares about the club. And I don't mean that in kind of a digging him out criticism kind of way. He's very conscious of his self-image. And I think it's all big and brave to come out after the game and, you know, fair play to him for doing that. But I think he's doing that for him rather than anyone else. So I'm a little bit more sceptical about that. I think, you know, coming out and saying all those things, it's all very well and good when you scored a penalty and you sort of dig out the rest of the players. It doesn't strike me as being, you know, well, it's clearly not a very happy team. So, and just on that, the other point I was making, the other point I was going to make, the margins at Premier League level are so fine, and 2% makes all the difference. When you have a load of players that, I don't know how many of them out there yesterday will be here again this season, probably 7 or 8 of them won't be here, regardless of what division we're in. You're not going to sprint that little bit harder. You're not going to stretch for a tackle because you snap your hamstring now. You do an ACL. If Yuri does his ACL now, he's not getting paid for 9 months. So he will phone it in. And he is phoning it in because he's not running. He's doing a lot of, you know, he's doing the Rodgers little clap beautifully, isn't he? And a lot of sort of trying to raise it. But for a captain in a relegation fight, that's not good enough. And the players don't care. I said it a while ago. I almost don't blame them for not caring because it's their own careers and their careers are short. But allowing it to get in this mess where you've got a management team that have been given 8 games and they don't care whether they're here or not because they've probably got, you know, an almighty pay packet and, you know, John Terry's had his meals paid for 8 weeks and golf on tap, and he can go for 5K runs. Brilliant. But that's not a good situation to be in. Coupled with the fact that over half our squad will be out of contract by the end of next year. I mean, it is an abysmal situation to get in, and it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that we've ended up in a situation where how we've not already gone down baffles me slightly. I mean, if you look at the season, we've had two decent runs, and one of those runs was two games. We're abysmal, and we have been all year. And the thing is, when I say we're abysmal, we're not abysmal because we've got decent, talented players. But motivation and heart go a long, long way. And there is none of that. And I don't know whether any, like, I struggle to dig out everyone at the club, but I just don't see, I'm sure Top cares because he spent a lot of money and like has a huge amount of investing into this club. But I didn't see anything from anyone that the players, the coaching staff, anyway, they weren't hurting like the rest of us were yesterday. And it's a shambles that he's got to this level, like an utter shambles. This is, I've seen us be relegated, what, 4 or 5 times? This is probably the best team I'll see get relegated. And it's completely avoidable. Like, it's a disgrace that we've let it get this bad. So, there you go. Jord, Rick, follow that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with a lot of that, to be honest, mate. I wanted to make a point on Maddison because I'm really conflicted with it and I'm really struggling to get my head around it. And I'm reluctant to dig him out too much because, like Rick said, you know, before the World Cup, he conducted himself really well. And, you know, he scored 9 assists this season. Without him, we'd be already down. And I mean, I know that's a ridiculous sort of argument, but since he's gone to the World Cup and he didn't play, so he's been injured and there's some sort of underlying injury there. Whether he needs an op or whatever it is, there's something not right. But since he's played for England, he hasn't been the same player. Now, I think people in the camp are getting into him, saying, well, you won't be there next year anyway, mate, so come and play for us. That is 100% happening. He strikes me as a next sort of Grealish type. You know, I'm obviously a big England fan, but we know what some of the players are like. In their personal and private lives, etc. And what I really struggle with is I'm obviously big on the social media side of things, and I don't think players get enough help in terms of mentally and psychologically at clubs. And social media is the devil. Now, he came out and had a pop at Tanner saying, we'll be fine. I've said we'll be fine all season. I'm not a professional footballer on 120 grand a week, so I'm willing to let it slide. You can't come out and say those things on a public forum and then not deliver. And then I think I'm right in saying that he told someone to fuck off on Twitter and then deleted his account. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, but he definitely deleted his account. And then he's come out again yesterday. He said this, you know, we weren't hungry enough, which I think was a slip of the tongue, but it was an absolutely baffling thing to say. And it wasn't taken out of context because on the pitch, the performance was terrible. Now, against Bournemouth, we lost 1-0. We were awful. It was his fault for the goal. And against Everton, we had a chance to go 3-1 up on the stroke of half time, and he missed the pen. Now, 2 penalties yesterday went down the middle and the keeper moved. But the way he struck it, you know, a 5-year-old could have saved it. And also, apparently, Jordan Pickford's come out and said, when we were on England duty, James Maddison asked me where... you know, where goalkeepers don't like penalties going. And he told me he always goes down the middle. And I remembered that. How the fuck did he not remember that? It's honestly staggering. Now, I like Maddison. He's our best player. He's been our best player for probably the best part of 2 years. He's going to go and play for a bigger club and earn lots of money. But for God's sake, just shut up on social media. Someone at the club should be saying, James, shut it. Don't rise to it. And that's where these young lads haven't got that. They need that advice. And I don't agree with he doesn't care. I think he does care. And I think he cares both about the club that gave him his opportunity. But like you say, both about that and himself and where his next move is going to be and how he's portrayed in the press. But ultimately, you have to do the talking on the pitch with your feet. And he's arguably cost us two of the most important games of the season. Now, I don't want to level that all on him. But just don't come out and keep digging a hole for yourself on social media. Because it, like you said, Rick, it's almost like we had the audacity to question the players. You know, this, we'll be fine, is what he said. If we play like that, we'll be fine. Well, we're not fine. We're down. And we haven't, I mean, what game was that? We actually played quite well. I think it was Southampton, that game. We played quite well. We deserved a point or 3 points out of the game. If Kel had finished his chances, we'd have won that. But since then, we've been appalling, really. And I do think he does care. He's not going to be here next season. The argument, what you say, players don't care, I agree. If you look at Pratt, fucking hell, what a waste of a shirt. He should never... Well, he's not going to play for Leicester City again. The bloke's a disgrace.
Yeah, I was going to jump in. I mentioned this to Jack during the game. I did Pratt watch yesterday, and it was quite literally Pratt watch. The guy could not care less.
He doesn't give a shit.
He couldn't. He doesn't want to play in that position, and he doesn't want to play for the football club. And I've not rewatched the highlights back, but. Anything that basically came down that right-hand side with... Basically, on the right-hand side, you had Tielemans on the right of the three and then Castagna and Dennis Pratt. None of them were closing and pressing and playing with any kind of urgency or desire whatsoever. And honestly, Pratt was the worst. He genuinely was. But it's been clear for a long time he doesn't want to be here. And it's a shame because we spoke about it on the back end of last week's podcast and the arguments of why you would play him because he is a good footballer. But the problem is that at this stage of a season, it's not about quality anymore, because if it was about quality, then we wouldn't be in the relegation zone, would we? It's clearly about much bigger problems than that. And that's why I said, well, at least put people in who give a crap, which, you know, Papimendi, now in hindsight, was showing like he gave a crap, but has been dropped. Harry Suter, for me, was looking almost like captain material. If you go back to that Brentford game,
Suter's captain next season for me.
Yeah, Suter's now out of the side. Patson Daka is pure chaos, and everyone knows I've criticised him throughout the course of the season. But he is showing like he gives a crap. And same with Dewsbury Hall.
Tete when he came on, Tete was all right yesterday.
So it's now no longer about how good they are at football, because if it was about that, then we wouldn't be where we are in the first place. It's now about who gives a crap. And, you know, again, there was Sumari bottling out of 50-50 challenges. I think it's the Willian goal where it comes from in the first place, where it's down the far end where, it's not like a howler in terms of, you know, what on earth are you doing? But it's like he could have stopped that if he'd thrown his body and either taken a yellow card or gone for the tackle. But he didn't. And he does sprint back, but he doesn't get there. But that comes from him in the sense of, if that was someone else, or if this was, I don't know, it just feels like I've just seen it so many times before for me not to get annoyed by that. Jordan, sorry to jump in there. I just thought that desire, I was watching certain players and there were certain players yesterday who didn't give a crap. And then you've got other ones on the bench, you're thinking, well, yeah, man, they might not be as good at football, but they were showing like they cared more. And that's what I want. And that's what we all want.
I have one point to slightly build on that, Jake. It's related, but not related. But how many of our players fall over? And it happens at home and away, and the opposition don't fall over at all. It is remarkable. They all fall over.
I think they've all got vertigo.
It's bananas. I that was one thing yesterday, if we were watching. I think in the first 30 minutes, five of our players slipped down and the pitch wasn't even wet. There we go. Jordan, you've got something.
Well, just gonna build on what Jake said. I mean, I don't want to single out particular individuals that don't want to be here. I love Castagna, and I'm a big fan of Tielemans. And I'm reluctant to slag Tielemans off because he scored some screamers this season that have got us points, and his goal won us the FA Cup. Jake mentioned there was a trifecta, whatever you call it, of Belgians on that right hand side. Well, they're all obviously, there's a little click there of the Belgians.
There's four of them, actually. Because Fez is on them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they weren't having the manager. But this the Pratt situation just highlights the complete ineptitude of the board and not necessarily the manager. But Rodgers said he didn't want Pratt. Pratt went to Torino. He didn't want to be here. And then he comes back and then Rodgers says, oh, he's going to be integral to us. And then he started him once or twice and he barely played. Well, if the manager's saying he's not going to be here, why on earth are the board not selling him?
Sorry, Joe. Mel's doing me.
He's doing his best to annoy me, I think. And that's, you know, before we come on to Rick's point, which I'm looking forward to.
For those listening, George's dad just keeps appearing in the background.
A bloke's doing my head in. But yeah, like Pratt is a clear example of he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't want to be here. For a man who gets injured getting out of bed, he don't go into tackles because he don't want to get injured. And, you know, you say like Madison does, he does care. You can see he cares. I'd like to think Barnes cares because he came through the academy. I'd like to think KDH cares and Thomas for the same reason. But someone like Pratt doesn't give a fuck. He just doesn't. And it is a fair comment. And I'm not going to waste my breath on Sumari. Whoever told me that he was a £30 million player and he's on £100,000 a week is just, you can shove your coaching badges up your arse because I mean, that's absolutely baffling.
Right. Are we ready?
Yeah, I think we've been waiting for this, Rick. I don't know what's about to happen, but...
No, I'm just going to build on the anger that's burning inside me. So I'll go back to what George was just alluding to several minutes ago about, you know, the players caring or not caring or this malaise that they're in. You know, a few months ago, our owner genuinely was livid that the fans dared question the board or question the club. He was there shaking his head. And yet here we are several months later and we're gone. You know, he acted too late. Now, we can argue till the cows come home whether it's all Brendan Rodgers' fault. Me, who's probably been one of the most vitriolic about Brendan, it's not all his fault. At the end of the day, he wasn't the one that was making the decision whether he should carry on as manager or not. He was desperate to leave. He didn't want to be here all season. He'd run his course. A manager of his quality, he knows when the time's to get out when you no longer can affect change. That was a long time ago.
You just described Brendan Rodgers as quality. You're feeling all right.
Hey, Brendan, the first 2.5 years, Brendan Rodgers was unbelievable. You know that, mate. You can, it's not mutually exclusive. You can praise Brendan Rodgers for what he did for the first 2.5 years and then slag him off for how shit he's been. You don't have to look back and say, be careful what you wish for, or it weren't as bad. It's a complete separate ends of the spectrum. He's a quality coach, but he's also an irritating little hermit. And the players will have switched off to him. And this is what I keep going on about. And he's been allowed to carry on. And Top's there shaking his head, thinking, but, you know, the way that he treated Dennis Pratt, he didn't want him. So he shipped him off to Torino. Then he comes back. And then he's expected to get a tune out of him. All these players that are running their contracts down. Now, players can run their contracts down and in that their final season before they depart, they can still put a shift in. But it's all about the manager being and the coaching staff being able to get that out of them. There's none of that going on at Leicester City because it's only human nature that they're probably switching off a little bit into protection mode. You need a manager that you can basically be receptive to. And we haven't had that. Now, is that Brendan's fault? Some of it is because he's made his bed and he's had to lie in it. But other times, they should have got rid of him. And they didn't. And this is why we are in the mess we are in. But let's move on to why we're in the mess. Let's move on to the other fucking idiots, yeah? Yeah? Come on. The ones that will still be here when we're in the Championship, when we spend all summer literally livid. I'm going to have to look after my kids all summer, fuming, taking them down the park, taking them Skegness, taking them fucking Wacky Warehouse. And deep down, part of me is still going to be livid and I'm not going to be present. And people will say, you're a bad dad. And yes, maybe I'm going to be a bad dad, but I'm a human being that's affected by this. Our lives are on the line here and we've got arseholes, right, that aren't performance measured. They're too busy having one up on each other. I've heard, and I don't know how true this is, there's been no communication when we were trying to recruit a new manager. You know, some of the board were going off trying to speak to other, to some candidates, and others were speaking to others. I mean, what's that all about? This is the fucking mess we're in. So here's a massive fuck you to whoever decided to get rid of Dave Rennie. Whoever appointed Lee Congerton, fuck you. Whoever appointed Brian English, fuck you. He was gone within a year. Whoever was responsible for the wage bill increasing from 100 million to 180 million, fuck you. Whoever decided to not let us sign anyone this summer, but also not accept any bids for our fringe players, fuck you. Not bringing in a set-piece coach for over a year. Fuck you. Not sacking Brendan Rodgers for months when everyone could see it. Fuck you. Then despite all of this, despite the fact that we were supposedly in a mess financially, FFP, all of that, couldn't sign anyone, on transfer deadline day in January, and this quote has come from journalists at Leeds, we supposedly offered Jack Harrison £100,000 a week. Fuck you. Alex Smith is sat on, not even on the bench, 60 grand a week. Fuck you.
Are you reading these?
Hey?
Alex Smith is not 60 grand a week, isn't he? He's on about 35, isn't he? I mean, well, it's still
whatever.
About, it's still
whatever.
Wait till you hear what George Hurst is on. Stuff.
There's £100 million worth of talent going to walk away for free in the summer. Fuck you. Seagrave. The injury record. Our academy relegated. All injured. Fuck you.
And literally, they get a day off, mate. Pay £100 million for training ground and get a day off.
Exactly. Loans up to our eyeballs on TV money until God knows when. Fuck you. All of you. Bollocks. And I tell you another thing. Them arseholes, right, that say we're a yo-yo club and this is just, so be it, Leicester are going down. No, 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 no. I'll come round your house, honestly, and I'll creep into your garden and I'll splatter spaghetti hoops up your washing. Bollocks, are we a yo-yo club? Not where we've been, not these last 10 years. Bollocks, what happened 100 years ago, 20 years ago, makes no difference to where we are now. I'm sorry. It ain't good enough. Some of these need to be held accountable. At least come out and say sorry. And they won't. None of them will come and do an interview. None of them. John Ruckin will never do an interview. Susan Whelan will never do an interview. None of them. We will.
What kind of spaghetti hoops would you throw at the wall, Rick?
Mm, good question, Jack.
The watery ones.
Well, at least we've got the name of the podcast now.
Yeah. I don't really know how to follow that, Rick, but
no.
You did put up some stuff about wages earlier today.
Yes.
I don't know how accurate they are, but often they're not that far off.
Mm. Well, we do know, don't we, from published total reports,
yeah,
that we have that what the total is and what the average wage is. So yeah, you can kind of debate, you know, whether someone's on 60 or 80, but yeah, they're I think they're relatively accurate. Yeah.
Anyway, so I've looked at them, and honestly, we've had agents have had us over a barrel. Ricardo, 120 grand a week, supposedly.
Yeah. Blood and I said at the time we should be giving him a new contract.
We gave him a 5-year contract because he just scored a goal against West Ham, and he's made of not even paper, something weaker than that. I mean, great footballer, but paid far too much. No one else is going to pay him that much, by the way. James Justin, equally, I mean, if he's not made of paper, he's made of I don't know, Rick, think of an analogy for me. 100 grand a week. Again, you know, I said earlier, it's like, you know, employing a CEO of your company, paying them 2 million quid a year and giving them 36 weeks paid sick leave a year. It's just nonsense decision making. Yeah. You've got people like Sumari on 83. I mean, Alex Smith, he's on 35 grand a week. He wouldn't make that in the championship, and he's barely a championship goalkeeper.
Mm.
I'm scarred by the summer because Owen from Radio Leicester, bless him, tweeted when George Hurst agreed a new contract that, you know, you'll see more of this from the club. We gave him a new 4-year contract and he's on over £1 million a year.
Yeah, scored seven goals on those.
He's not even a championship player. And by the way, you know, Hamza, who we could have let walk away for free because he's on a load of money, we extended his for a year.
So we've got 60 grand.
We've got a year of Hamza next year patrolling the midfield. Like, it is staggering what we pay some of our players. And you look at what other clubs are doing. I mean, Wolves are miles down. And Wolves have been up there as a football club for the last few years. I mean, they've got players like Neves that, you know, should command, you know, high fees and stuff. But, I mean, agents have just done us all over. I mean, but they must love dealing with us because it doesn't even look like we negotiate.
Well, yeah, they just ask for it. This is the thing with lots of them. Well, you can look through it, right? And, you know, players like Maddison, Barnes, Tielemans, Vardy, the reality is that if we didn't pay them that salary, they could have got it elsewhere.
Yeah,
But at the time that we gave Ricardo Pereira a new contract, he'd already had two really serious injuries. And it was clear that he was past his best. So at that point, you either kind of look to move him on or you give him a new contract on reduced terms for maybe a couple of years. But Leicester gave him a pay rise and a 5-year deal when nobody, no football club in their right mind anywhere else would have offered him similar terms. So in terms of, you know, a bargaining position, they had none, yet we gave them exactly what they wanted and probably more so. And you can look through so then many more of those players. James Justin, if it is correct that he's on around £100,000 a week, there is no Premier League club which would offer him that kind of money. Now, at some point, you know, he may be worth that. He's still young and he's had some really horrible injuries. But, you know, again, you look at Dewsbury Hall at £75,000 a week. And again, you know, we can't be 100% sure how correct these are. Now, last season, on the basis of what we saw, young player of the year, players player of the year, at one point, maybe he could be worth that kind of money. But again, nobody is coming in to try buy Dewsbury Hall, you know, for £30 million and going to offer him £75,000 a week. So why are we giving these contracts out to these players? And you look through that entire list and that's the problem. It's the players where we didn't have to offer them that money. You know, yeah, extend their contracts to protect them as an asset. But the salaries we were handing out are absolutely eye-watering. And it's actually sickening to read. And I just hope and pray that there are relegation clauses in their contracts. Now, I believe that pretty much it's standard for all Premier League players that you do have one in there. I'm just hoping and praying that we do, because if we're stuck with players on those kind of contracts in the Championship, then, I mean, they're not going anywhere, are they? They're going to sit there and take that money. You can't blame them. It's not their fault that the club has been so stupid to hand out them contracts.
You say that, Jake. That was a point I was going to make, that there should be a relegation clause in there. It's fairly standard. We're talking about Leicester City here.
Yeah.
And the ineptitude at board level and some of the club staff. You know, you use the words eye-watering, sickening. Exactly the words I would use. Lee Congerton was at Sunderland and Jack Rodwell was on at least 50 grand a week in League One.
It was like 80.
Well, there you go, 80 grand a week. I mean, you know, these agents who come to the club and how these deals are done and say, you know, Dewsbury Hall's a great example. I'd like him to stay next season. Also think he should be in the team because we're missing his energy, but that's a separate point. But he's come out of the academy. He's 24, 25. As far as I'm aware, nobody else wants him, certainly not at Premier League level.
No.
Where the fuck are we getting 75 grand a week from?
That's what I'm saying.
For a squad player who's come out of the academy, it's absolutely baffling, that is.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry
to use him. From a bargaining position, we just turn around and say, no, we'll give you 50, because, you know, he's not going to get more than that anywhere else, is he?
I'm sorry to use him as an example because he's an honest player and I really like him. And then, you know, I can understand what he likes of Maddison on $100,000 a week plus. But, I mean, Evans is another one, always injured. Pereira, yeah, like you say, always injured. If Justin's on that, I can't believe that's true. Always injured. If the agents are saying, well, he won't sign it, well, don't fucking sign it then and leave.
Yeah,
or exactly. Rot in the reserve, mate. It's up to you. And like I said about, you know, Samari, who on earth is looking at him thinking, he's $80,000 a week worth. Bertrand, oh, we'll give you $80,000 a week.
So apparently on Bertrand, right, they were going to give him a year. 2 weeks before he was going to sign, his agent comes back and goes, no, he wants 4 years.
There you go.
We gave him two with an option of a third.
And the ironic thing about these contracts is the reason we got rid of Kasper is because his wages were too high and he wanted a 2-year deal and we'd only give him one. So we're playing hardball with Kasper, but nobody else. But the one thing that I really can't get my head around with these contracts is there's 7 out of contract this summer. There's 8 the following summer. How on earth have you sat down looking at a squad thinking, right, we'll have half the contracts to 2023 and half the contracts to 2024. Has it not dawned on them that they could all leave at the same time or all leave within the space of one season? Why don't they stagger them out? They just do like, oh, your contract ends March 2023. Your contract ends September 2023. Your contract ends January 2024. No, it's like a hard and fast, this is when it's got to be.
Yeah, and obviously none of them players now who are out of contract the following year, they're not going to sign any contracts this coming summer, are they? Because you know, even if we stay in the Premier League, they're going to want to at least see what position we are in the Premier League in 6 months' time, or if in the Championship, they're not going to sign a contract extension. So whatever situation we're in right now, and this is what the point I made earlier on in terms of if we go down, it's not going to be a bounce-back situation. Whatever situation we're in right now in regards to these contracts, we're in the exact same one
again
in 12 months' time, irrespective of what division we're in. It's a complete and utter shit show. It generally is.
All those players that are out of contract in a year need to go as well. You're not going to sign, go.
Yeah, you have to...
And we can't keep holding out for high fees because we're a club that sells players for a lot of money because it doesn't work as a strategy. It's like, it's not even a strategy. It's just something you believe in your head.
Well, we've got 7 out of contract this year. So like you say, Jack and Jake, that those 8 players are just going to do the exact same as these 7 have done. Tielemans is a great example. As far as I'm aware, no one's actually made a bid for him. So he's thinking, well, I'm just going to sit on my $100,000 a week for 2 or 3 years and wind this down. And then when I go on a free, then I'll look at, you know, I'll take the signing on fee from whoever's giving me a contract that the club Leicester won't get. And I'll just wind it down. I mean, I don't know where he's going to end up because I don't know who wants him. But you can't blame these players. Soyuncu's done the exact same. I mean, they're all at it. And the other thing that really is just staggering is 80% of our revenue, 220 million, 180 million quid's worth goes on players' wages. Well, that's not sustainable in the top flight with the TV money, let alone when you're going down, taking out a loan against an Australian bank, when all your parachute payments are going to evaporate down under, that it doesn't work in the Prem, let alone when you go down. I mean, it's baffling. It's beyond comprehension how inept that is and how no one in that who operates a Premier League football club has got the foresight to even see that.
And the other thing, just
to reiterate what I'd said earlier, despite all of that, what's gone on, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago, despite all of that, you know, in January, we were either in the relegation zone or perilously close to it. And at that point, the penny must have dropped, having seen what we went through in the summer where we struggled, that, you know, there is a good chance we're going down, or we need to plan and start being a bit more frugal. And on transfer deadline day, we offer some complete Norris 100 bags a week. That's why, you know, the relegation wage cuts, there won't be any. Or if they are, it'll be like £5 off $100,000 a week. There'll be nothing. This is why, like, we are in for hell on earth. This is like, honestly, we are in for it. You just know it. because they won't have. That's why they're shaking their head. That's why they're exasperated with us, because they genuinely just didn't see this coming. Even if we somehow raise some money that might put us together a squad, where's the leadership for all that to happen? Because we're going to see 20 players come and go, or they need to raise the funds. It's just going to be bedlam, and not in a good way.
And you're going to have to act very quickly. I was saying to Jake on the way in last night, we go down in the summer. I don't want Madison, Barnes, whoever else we're selling, turning up on the first day of pre-season with transfer speculation over their head.
No.
Just need to get them out quickly. And if it means
do an honesty box.
Yeah, exactly. If you shave
whatever they think the players are worth, first bid done.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, do it like it's going to need to be a fire sale, because we're talking about a club that it took us 6 months to get a work permit for a set piece coach. So heaven knows how we're going to sign more than one. And Rick, I know you'll be doing your nut in the summer with that much, you know, the transfer for.
I can't be arsed, mate. I can't be arsed. I've spoilt it. Literally. Mate, I feel sick. Honestly, looking on Transfer Market and all the places I go and do my research. No, it's like looking at the menu at China. I could be sick, mate. Honestly, fuck it. No.
I've got one more. I do want to talk about Smith, but it's already been over an hour and we're not even halfway through, I don't think. But
are we doing a quiz, by the way? Are we doing a quiz?
We can save the quiz. Can be done at any time. I can talk. Okay. I can talk you through why I think the quiz is funny, just to like build some anticipation, because it was a very calamitous quiz, but it was an exceptional quiz. So,
is it worthwhile doing tonight?
No, we can do it another occasion. Basically, after the game last night, I went drinks for a curry. Drinks at six. The quiz starts at seven. I went for a curry with. The lot I went to Rome with, which includes my dad and James and all that lot. Yeah. So you can imagine it went off. But anyway, Andrew, who was with us had written a quiz, and I'll cut this out the round, but he did from the 2021-2022 season, he did the scorers of the 9-0 win against Southampton, which I'm sure you boys know. Can you name them?
Chilwell, Vardy, Perez, Madison, and
Barnes,
Tielemans,
correct, Rick. Anyway, so we all got
that. I was wrong again. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Don't forget this is recent stuff. Anyway, right. So he then goes, what was the biggest win and the biggest defeat that season in the same season?
I've got one on the Suez Canal.
Right. So rather than the biggest win being Southampton, the 9-0, which he just referenced, he put 5-0 down at Newcastle.
I mean, it's unbelievable to think we were fucking pummeling the sides 9-5-0 to start with.
I know. Yeah. Biggest loss from that season? Can you remember that one?
No. If you remind me, but yeah, I can't remember it now.
4-1 Man City.
No, that was 3-1 Man City.
Was it? Oh.
Yeah, you're close. You 2 days earlier.
Liverpool, 3-0. Liverpool, was it? 4-0, was it? Oh, yeah, got you.
Correct. Anyway, I think we'll do a big end of season quiz from the last 15 years and I'll actually put the right answers in.
And we're going to do an alternative end of season awards ceremony as well.
You said I wasn't allowed to do that.
No, we
can't be negative.
You said Madry mates and men's mental health.
Yes, I did say that.
Yeah.
It's the Talk Norwich City podcast. They're doing like the worst five players to ever play for the club. And I do discourage that, because I don't think it's particularly fair, because no, as I said, nobody deliberately is shit. So we should do an alternative end of season award. So you can do things like, you know,
who's worst more haircut. Likely to wear Union Jack shorts on holiday?
Exactly, random stuff like that.
Definitely Rick. Rick would definitely do that.
Yeah. So stuff like that, which isn't just completely digging out players for being crap, because you know, you can do crap performances, but digging out individuals, I think, is just a little bit too far.
I hope Norwich ain't going to add Darren Eady on then, because he'll more than happy get a turn on him.
Jordan, do you want to go back to whatever you were going to say about Dean Smith, mate?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of probably loses its relevance a bit now, but I've said before on the contract situation after the FA Cup win. We were playing in Europe. I think it's fair that you reward players, you know, with what they deserve. But to Rick's point earlier, once that starts going wrong, you need a fucking manager that's not going to put up with it. And you know, I back Rodgers. I still think if Rodgers was here now, I think we'd be in a better position. I think Smith's come in and he's had a bit of a hospital pass, but I think since Rodgers has gone, 1-7, Villa and Bournemouth was probably the worst display I've seen in the Premier League. Well, since we came back up, and then we got 1 point from Leeds, 1 point from Everton. And what worries me about Smith is, I mean, I'm a fan of the bloke, but
yeah,
what he said after Everton. We said something like, we knew we were poor, but there's more to come. Well, the game later, we're 3-0 down at half time. And he says after, oh, that shocked us a bit. Well, a week ago, you said there's more to come, and we were even worse the following week. So, and his midfield selection was just absolutely baffling, how you can have two blokes who play centre mid that can't run, and a defence that hasn't kept a clean sheet since before the World Cup. And I know, again, Rick's mentioned it, saying this is Peter Taylor stuff. I think it's even worse, because this squad is the seventh highest wage bill in the country, and these records are worse than under Taylor. I think that it's the worst run we've been on since 94, 95 in the Prem. Well, that was the first team to come up, and obviously the money wasn't the same because the Premier League was in its infancy back then. I think tactically Smith is, I mean, he's got a hospital pass, but from what I've seen, I don't think he's up to the standard. And some of the stuff he's said has concerned me. So I think we're going to go down looking like we need to shift minimum 10 to 15 players out, get 10 to 15 players in with a board that ain't got a clue and no manager. So
yeah. if there's any modicum of comfort, yeah. And I think it's the first time we've used modicum. And I think
modicum's a great word. I use it all the time now.
I think it's used on this podcast regularly. We're not going to have to get Dean Smith haircuts. But Jordan, on that point, on Dean Smith, I think it's absolutely fair, because I really like him as a bloke. And I think we all have. But I do think you also then need to take a step back and, you know, and call it as it is. And I thought that at Brentford, he did a good job, but the reality is he left the club. Thomas Frank came in and did a better one. Mm. Now, Aston Villa, that squad he had was just, they were playing like three times more than any other Championship club were. And even then, they only just managed to get promoted. He then only kept them up in the Premier League by the skin of their teeth. If you remember, that was the season where Nyland, the goalkeeper, takes the ball over the line against Sheffield United, and VAR didn't work. And Villa stayed up by a point. So Argu could have gone down then. He then leaves, goes Norwich, and has a bit of a disaster there as well. I know it's not always as straightforward as this, but also then if you look at the Leicester performances, the Man City game, we lose with 3-0 down incredibly quickly. The points against Leeds and Everton, whilst they were kind of entertaining and there were positives within that, that was during a period where everyone was spanking Everton and Leeds, and we were the only teams that didn't. And then that performance against Fulham is arguably the worst of the season, or certainly going 4-0 down was absolutely hopeless. So whilst I do think Dean is a nice bloke, a solid bloke, I don't think tactically he's at the required level for Leicester in terms of whether, even if we're in the Championship or not. And I mean, I suppose we are probably at that point now where we start talking about if we are in the Championship. When we are in the Championship, who is going to manage the football club?
Because Kieran McKenna.
It's not going to be, you know, Graham Potter, is it? So those conversations can stop. And, you know, of what we've seen, I think we can all probably agree it's not going to be Dean Smith.
No, let's hope it's not. Rick, do you want to talk about Russell Martin?
Well, I just, you know, there's an article come out over the weekend that Russell Martin would be our number one choice, but only if we go down. I mean, I'd rather have Ricky Martin, I think. He just screams no. He's like a car, he's a cardboard cutout of Brendan Rodgers in a bloody syrup. His hair don't look right for me. And I know he's got a full head of hair that I can only dream of. But no, not having it. He's one of those notepadders, chap lips, I suspect, or something of the sort. 80% possession. No. And, you know, he seems to be have a masterclass in not achieving anything. I know Jake said he did quite a good job at MK Dons and Swansea. But, okay, how did he do a good job MK Dons?
They were incredibly close to getting promoted from League One. The following season, they get relegated. You know, he went to Swansea during a period where they're having the budgets cut and slashed year after year, and in the end,
this, you know, genuinely it sounds like early days Brendan Rodgers.
It does, and he is incredibly similar.
In League One, MK Dons finished 19th and 13th.
Not under Ross and Martin.
Yeah, well, unless Wikipedia's pulling pissers, yeah.
Yeah, he did a great job at MK Dons. Hence, he got the job at Swansea. He's not getting that job there. But look, it then took ages to get it going at Swansea. But eventually, they were actually quite unlucky to miss out on the playoffs. Look, I can understand the concerns about him. I can understand why people would be hugely excited by the appointment. But I can also understand the thinking behind it. And look, you know,
he's got a haircut like Jordan. That's all I can say about him.
He was one of them.
It's not as good as
well.
George.
It's not. He's not as good. No.
His looks like it's sprayed on.
When Russell was at Norwich, he was the club captain.
Do you know
for
him,
years.
Jay? Do you know?
Yeah,
him?
I do. I do.
Yeah, you're big.
No,
here we go.
No, but look, I'm not a Norwich fan. I can just say from a standpoint of I know the guy, and he was one of them players that you knew was going to be a manager. Like, and I was incredibly surprised that when Norwich got rid of Daniel Farke, they didn't go for Russell Martin. And I said at the start of the season that Russell Martin will end up being a Premier League manager. And I've always thought, and I still think he will do.
Not with us, he won't.
Well, I mean, whether it's this season or in 5 years' time with someone else, I do genuinely believe that Russell Martin will be a Premier League manager. I'll be honest, I'm a little bit surprised at the negativity towards him. I think you almost feel like you're scarred from Brendan Rodgers and you're just worried you're going to have someone similar in terms of the way that he talks. Yeah. And you're so conscious of that you're not giving the bloke a chance. And I think he's a young, good manager with an ideology and a clear identity of playing football. And it's kind of working for him.
He is also a vegan.
I need to see a bit more success.
So, yeah, he is a vegan, correct.
And he suffers from bowel problems. So, you know,
get him in. Get him on the pod. Love him. No, I mean, I quite like the bloke. In all seriousness, I'd like to see a bit more. Yes, we are a disgrace and we're going down and we're going to be a complete calamity. But if you're going to get a new manager in at Championship, you're going to want someone who's had a little bit of a snifter at getting in the playoffs before promotion, done something. Now, yeah, they've had about a 9-game unbeaten run and they've missed that on playoffs by 3 points, I think. But I don't know. You're the only sort of positive thing I've read, Jake. I was looking into it and Swansea fans said he polarised his opinion. But he flatters to deceive. And I'm scarred by that 70%. Possession. If it works, fine, but you've got to have a promotion under your belt or something. No.
Right.
So don't know who I'd bring him. Kieran McKenna, as Jack said,
he'd be Kieran McKenna. Yeah. I didn't know who he was until about 3 months ago. And then someone said the manager at Ipswich is quite good. And he was in Ole's backroom staff. I think he's been at Spurs, Man U, and then he's taken over Ipswich. They've won everything. He was born in London, very strange Northern Irish accent. I heard him do a few interviews earlier today, talked about the fans, talked about us, and he's got a side promoted. That'll do for me.
But he wouldn't come now, would he?
Why would he come? Promoted.
He would. If we're down,
we're paying £5 million
to the Championship. We'll probably pay him as much as Jack Harrison and give him a 7-year contract. He'll come.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
And I'm sorry, like Ipswich, without sounding, but Leicester will be a big draw in the Championship. But Ipswich, I don't know whether it was, although they have got plenty of money behind them now. So, but if we've got any chance of getting him, I would have a crack.
I have been reminded several times that I bet a few people that we'd finish above Newcastle.
Did you?
How much? George? Do we need to do a crowdfund?
Yeah,
I might have to run another bloody marathon, I think, to raise the money. But I'd be interested to see next season if McKenna stays at Ipswich. I think they could finish above us.
Yeah.
I don't see... We've gone from talking about Graham Potter and other decent managers and having a decent manager to talking about people that have got Ipswich up or who've managed Swansea City and Middlesbrough. No disrespect to those clubs, but I mean, who's going to want to come here with this project that we've got? Project, that's a fucking loose term.
People who like money, Jordan.
Yes, but how much money are we going to have?
We'll still dish it out until we go bust, which won't be too long, I would have thought, but they'll still do it. They won't learn. They won't swallow their pride. Ignorant. Clueless. Calamitous. Prats.
What else do you want to do? We're not doing the quiz. Are we doing Who Are You? Because we're an hour and a half in.
It's time for Who Are You, isn't it? Surely.
Is anyone in charge? Does anyone know they're in charge?
It can't be me because I wasn't here last week.
I did last week. I don't mind doing another one if you give me 2 minutes to talk amongst yourselves. I'll pull one out.
Right. Okay.
I've got one, if not.
Okay, go on, Rick. You go.
Yeah.
Okay. I just got to call up the facts, but I thought about it early in the week. Give me 2 seconds.
Get the file of facts out.
Okay. Well, I will play the music while Rick gets that ready.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Oh, dear me. I'm generally very tired now. this, I think, last thing of the podcast is, and I don't want to talk about Liverpool. Rick, take over, my friend. Are you ready?
I am ready. Although the problem is because I'm on my phone, I'm having to flick between screens. But yeah, okay. First one then, yeah? You ready?
Yeah.
He was born on the 17th of October, 1978, in Edmonton, Canada.
Lars Hirschfeld. Hirschfeld.
Yeah.
That is, isn't it? That is, isn't it?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Hang on. I was literally about to say the same thing.
You put that in the WhatsApp group like yesterday.
No, that was Paul Hyde.
He is in the WhatsApp group. I'm sure of it.
Well,
no.
Jordan, with all due respect, you wouldn't have got it anyway.
No, I wouldn't. But
I would have. I was about to say it.
I'm in FIFA Fair Play. I'm interested in fair competition.
He only made one appearance for Leicester as well.
Yeah, there's not many Canadian goalkeepers, are there?
I didn't say goalkeeper.
Yeah, I know, but I know he's at Spurs. Mate, I was there, but Jack got there first.
Oh, he was an answer, well, yeah, was an I mean, answer we, in the quiz had... last night.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was an answer in the quiz last night, so...
Fixed.
Oh. I mean, out of curiosity,
at least
Jack,
we wrapped that up a bit quicker than usual.
Yeah. was your one also Lars Hirschfeld?
Yeah, it might have been, actually. To think of it, I think that was the player I was going to think of. Or Carl Hakimi was the other one.
We've had him.
Yeah, we've had Carl Hakimi.
Have we had? Because the other one I can't do is no, Paul Hyde.
You guessed
Paul
it.
Paul Hyde did play for the club, but there are no records of him playing for the club.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
It's really weird.
And he's got it from those clues.
Yeah.
Well done.
Right. I'm absolutely exhausted, boys. Do we all feel better? Rick, do you feel better? I think you broke the record for the most amount of fuck yous
ever
said on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I won't apologise for what I've said because, you know, it's honest. I'm honest as the day's long. What I do want to say one
final
thing.
Long.
Well, yeah, I do think I am mildly to blame for all of this, right?
Go on.
So, in 2016, my son was born and we went on to win the league, right? And then lockdown hit. When was that? 4 years later, and I was fed up with Zoom quizzes and really queuing on the website of B&Q to order something I didn't need. So I ended up getting the missus one, and Darcy turned up, and we won the FA Cup. And then at the start of this season, I had the snip, and we're on the verge of relegation. So I can't help feeling I'm partly to blame here. So all that vitriol that's coming out my gob is just self-loathing. I know it's me.
I hope you're proud of yourself, mate. When you look in your children's eyes.
To make you feel better, Rick, we have started a podcast in the season that we're going to get relegated. I've cut my hair and we've been shit ever since. And all season I said, we'll be fine. And then the number 10 comes out and tweets, we'll be fine. And then we're going down. So I take some blame as well.
Well, I also moved back to Leicester this season and now we're shit. So I feel like I should take some blame for that as well.
Oh, I feel like I need to take some blame for something now. What can you blame me for?
You had a tuna and beetroot sandwich and it was disgusting. Yeah.
But isn't That's this decent. Good, though, to unload and share the pain and anguish? Because one thing I will say is they won't break us, them fucking idiots. They won't. We'll still be here. Don't matter what division we go in, we'll still do this pod, won't we? Mm.
And do you know what?
As I say, we're like them...
It's quite a lot, was like a nice way to win, because we kind of joked, didn't we, Jack, that during the game we almost did leave, and loads of people did, and you can't blame us if we did, but we started singing, or the fans started singing, "We're Leicester till I die," and me and Jack literally looked at each other and thought, "You're all right then, fuck it, we'll stay." Do you know what I mean? But you know, it is what it is, isn't it? And it's true. You know,
we can't have the good times without the bad times.
Exactly. And
we've had a great run.
If we're in the championship, would I still go every week? Yes. Will I complain about really, it? Yeah, of course I will.
Really depressed with me. And I assume it's people just losing their heads, but going, "Oh, well, I'm not going to go next year."
I did that last night. But
My
point was that if you treat people like customers, they'll behave like customers.
I mean, there are some wider points outside of football in terms of the match day experience and stuff, which are very valid. But in terms of the fact that we're just in the championship isn't enough for me just to go, "Oh, I'm not going to go anymore." Because it's been far worse than... I mean, it's been bad. It's a bad season, but it has. But it's been worse than this. And you can talk about, you know... I mean, we didn't talk about in the Everton game that the atmosphere is as good as it's been for ages. The stadium's rocking and they tell everyone to sit down.
Yeah, that was scandalous. I mean, it made me laugh yesterday because the fans obviously have gone past anger and hatred and now just have accepted that we're down and actually singing some humorous songs. Thinking if that was in Italy or Argentina or France, possibly Holland, the game would have been abandoned. There'd have been fans on the pitch and flares all over the place just to get the game off. And we're laughing about it. But I want to end on a positive because I was getting some stick yesterday off my mate. If he listens this far in, he's a United fan from Wembley, which I know Jack will like. He was giving me a bit of stick. And I said, "Well, you're just jealous, mate, because the richest club in the world have been usurped by this tiny little club in the Midlands that no one's ever heard of and no one cares about, who have not only gone to League One, they've come up, won the fucker, won the FA Cup more recently than you, been in the Champions League quarter final more recently than you. The only thing you did beat us in was in the fucking Community Shield. And we went and won that as well. All of that from a little club in the East Midlands, and the richest club in the world still can't do that." So that really, I think that got to him when I mentioned that. We can't complain.
Well, if any consolation, George, I've had people come up to me at work today and say that they're genuinely worried about me. So I told them I was fine, really. No, I'm fine, honestly. but there we are. On more positive stuff, I am going to this on Thursday. Rick might be joining me, but friend of the pod, Kieran Maguire is doing a live show in Wigston on Thursday night. And I think there are about 10 tickets still available. But that should be a really good evening. And it's raising money for Memphis. I think that's how you pronounce it. The local charity. I will learn how to pronounce it on Thursday. But if anyone's about and is going, please do say hello. And hopefully Rick can make it. Needs to get permission off his wife.
Yeah, I'm working on that, pal. I've got one shout out as well. Jack Smith was 30 at the weekend, bless him, and he's been out on the piss Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, had about 2 hours sleep in all that time and still went to Fulham yesterday and watched that debacle. So, Jack, hope you're all right today, mate. Happy birthday. And one other final thing, there might be the best ever Twitter name that I've noticed is following us. He's called Gout Fass. He's got no, he follows no one, but he follows us and about 150 people. Leicester, I think it might be someone from Kasabian, but I don't know. But Gout Fass, if you're listening, you're coming on the pod.
What if it is Wout Fass under a pseudonym?
He's actually got gout, which is why he's been terrible for the second half of the season.
Yeah,
and we all
explains a lot.
A good story yesterday. Jake knows this. Someone came up to me and said, hi, I met you at a wedding last week. And I was like, no, not me. You apparently met someone at a wedding last week, Jordan. It must have been you. But anyway, to the person that came and said hello to me and said they listened to the pod, it was very nice to meet you, but I am not Jordan. I look nothing like Jordan. But it's nice to be recognised, I guess.
I think my name's Luke now anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
But that's when you know you've really made it, when people start pretending to be you at weddings. There's someone out there pretending to be one of us at weddings.
It must have been you, though, because you've been to a wedding more recently than the rest of us.
I've been to so many stag do's and weddings that are not my own. It's alarming.
Mm. One day, mate. Forever the bridesmaid.
Yeah. I'm never getting married.
Right. I am genuinely absolutely exhausted. And I think we have now officially broke the record for the longest ever episode of this podcast. We did warn you that would be the likely scenario. We haven't even mentioned the next game. What is there to say?
We're done.
Yeah, there we are. So we'll leave it there. Thank you for listening as ever. And well done if you have managed to get all the way to the end. And apologies if you don't like swear words, but I'd imagine by this stage of listening to the podcast, you're relatively used to it. But look, thank you for listening as always. We will be back post-Liverpool. Win, lose or draw, because we are Leicester till we die. So thanks once again for listening. And this is Limp Bizkit Break Stuff playing us out. You've been listening to the Big Strong Leicester Boys. It's just one of those days. Podcast Network.